Welcome to Food for Thought Podcast. Today's episode is the angry vegan versus the joyful vegan. I wanted you to have something to listen to while I work on new episodes of Food for Thought. You have heard this before. It is a rebroadcast, but it is one of the more popular ones. I think you will enjoy it. And if you want to read this and you are not a supporter at the level to get the transcripts, what I really want to encourage you to do is get the book, The Joyful Vegan, How to Stay Vegan in a World That Wants You to Eat Meat, Dairy, and Eggs. I'm excited to tell you that signed copies are now available in my new store. If you just go to joyfulvegan.com and click on books, you will get right over to the new store and you can buy signed copies. You can join me in my cooking classes. You can find lots of good things. So in the meantime, while I'm working on some stuff for you, including this new store and including the new website, which we're still working on, please enjoy this episode and always let me know if you have any questions or comments, and I appreciate your feedback. Thanks so much. Before we begin, my name is Colleen Patrick-Goudreau. You can find me at joyfulvegan.com, which is probably a spoiler that I'm a joyful vegan, and on social media. You can find my books wherever books are sold, and you can join me in my online cooking classes. This podcast is possible because of you, because of the support of listeners like you. So thank you for subscribing, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting this Food for Thought podcast in its 15th year. You can join other supporters by going to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGoudreau. This is certainly not the first time, nor will it be the last time, that I am talking about anger. I talk about it in The Joyful Vegan. The Angry Vegan is one of the chapters. And in fact, a lot of what you're going to hear today is excerpted from that book. I am so grateful that The Joyful Vegan has helped so many people see themselves reflected in that text. You can get yourself a copy wherever books are sold. It's available as a paperback, as an ebook, and as an audiobook. And I just want to encourage you to get the book wherever you are on your journey. I was in a live interview yesterday, and one of the questions was, is this a book for someone who's already vegan? And I think the problem is that the subtitle of the book, which I didn't really consider before, but because I have reflected a lot on why the sales are very low, I think possibly because vegans who see the subtitle that says how to stay vegan in a world that wants you to eat meat, dairy, and eggs, assume that I'm talking about staying vegan only. If you see that subtitle and you think, well, I'm never going to not be vegan, there's no risk of me not being vegan still, then I don't have to read that book. But it's not just about that. It's about how to stay a joyful vegan. It's how to cope as a non-vegan, as a vegan in a non-vegan world. And so I really encourage you to check it out because it is for you, whether you are a new vegan, a veteran vegan, because not only will you see yourself reflected back in these stories, in the, you know, in just the content itself, you will also be able to better understand why people do struggle staying vegan and why people stop being vegan. So it's for you, and it's for you to also understand more. I have heard from thousands and thousands of vegans over the many years I've been doing this work, and I noticed all these common threads. This is why I wrote The Joyful Vegan, and many of you heard this in the series I did for Food for Thought podcast before I wrote the book. It was the inspiration for the book. I identified these common threads, and one of the most common when I hear from vegans, whether they make the change for ethical reasons or for health reasons, but mostly for ethical reasons, is the experience of anger, experiencing sorrow, experiencing grief, disenchantment, and despair. They run through almost every story I hear. Now, anger is only one aspect of what we feel when we become vegan, and it's not necessarily the case that it lasts for a long time for everybody, right? Because peace is one of the great byproducts of living a compassionate life. Many new and veteran vegans describe feeling a profound sense of relief and a deep peace of mind as the result of living in harmony with their values. I certainly experienced that myself. But whereas stopping our participation in the institutionalized exploitation of other animals, while that does bring peace of mind, the awareness of so much cruelty and suffering and violence can also have devastating effect on our psyches. Burnout is common among vegans and animal advocates, and many become jaded, hopeless, self-righteous, and angry. And why shouldn't we be angry? Human greed and the desire for convenience and pleasure drive the socially sanctioned use and abuse of billions of non-human animals. We live in a world where it's considered normal to champion this and radical to oppose it. Of course, people are angry. But anger is not necessarily a dirty word. And to remain a joyful vegan is to understand the roots of anger, which are planted in sorrow and anguish. Many of you have heard me say that the earliest meaning of the word anger reflects this fact. It referred to something being painfully constricted. It was a strangling, a narrowing, a squeezing, or a throttling. And our modern word anger comes from an Old Norse word meaning anguish. If we reframe anger to see it in its historical context, we recognize that there isn't a contradiction between the peace that comes with eating nonviolently and the anger we feel in the face of so much cruelty. In other words, while we may experience anger on the surface, something much more tender is underneath, and I believe that something is sorrow. In all the years I've been listening to people's experiences, as well as tapping into my own, I've come to believe that sorrow is at the core of our emotional reaction to the injustices imposed upon animals. But anger is just easier to manifest. It's familiar. It's recognizable. It's culturally supported. Anger has a gravitas. Sorrow and sadness are interpreted as weak and ineffectual. Some people, especially men, in our culture, may even feel ashamed to show sadness at all, since vulnerability implies frailty in a culture that values masculine traits of strength and anger. I hear from both men and women, though, who tell me that they don't know how to talk about animal issues without demonstrating sadness, without crying, as if showing such emotions would negate or undermine the seriousness of their message and beliefs. And so they either say nothing at all, or they display the more socially acceptable emotion of anger, which ironically has negative effects on their message, on the relationships, and on themselves. Anger is a natural human emotion. I don't want to make it sound like it's not. It should not be ignored. It should not be suppressed. But depending on its frequency, its duration, and its intensity, anger can be detrimental to our mental and emotional and physical health. In The Joyful Vegan, I talk about what some of these ill effects are. Self-compassion should be reason enough to be wary of chronic anger, but many vegans and many animal advocates cling to it as fuel, a popular axiom circulating in many social justice-oriented circles, not just among vegans, says that if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. Moral indignation becomes a measure of how much we care. If we're not cynical about the past and pessimistic about the future, then we're apathetic or delusional or willfully ignoring injustice and violence. The world becomes a zero-sum game of offenders and defenders, of victims and warriors, of sinners and saints. The entire human population then becomes an enemy to defeat, a scourge to distinguish. And you hear this language just follow some people's social media channels. So operating within this framework, it's no surprise then that well-intentioned advocates tell themselves that to let go of anger implies that they're choosing inertia and inaction. Letting go of anger becomes tantamount to betraying the animals who desperately need our intervention. The anger, though, that would be a means for change becomes the end in itself. And being an angry vegan becomes a point of pride, a mark of identity, characterized by misanthropy and disgust. what may have been someone's primary motivating force for change, that anger may have been the primary motivating force for change, their own personal change as well as the change they want to bring about in the world becomes the destination. And as a result, many become addicted to outrage and mistake it for activism. The problems with this are manifold. Not only does sustained anger not feel good, it's also not effective or productive. People are always looking for ways to dismiss vegans as radical and animal advocates as crazy, and nothing gives them more opportunity to do so than the presence of the angry vegan. People just don't respond well to anger and outrage, which tend to manifest themselves as self-righteousness, martyrdom, indignation, and judgment, all of which turn people off or make them defensive. Not only is prolonged outrage ruinous on one's state of being, it's simply not sustainable, which is why there's evidence that the angriest activists are the first ones to burn out. Our anger may be justified, and indignation may make us feel good and feel virtuous, but neither changes hearts, neither changes minds, neither even changes laws on behalf of animals or anything else we care about. Fortunately, it's not a zero-sum game. We can be passionate and powerful and productive without being misanthropic or self-destructive. We can be acutely aware and actively engaged and happier and more effective as a result. We can decide at any given moment whether we want to be an angry vegan or a joyful vegan. The choice is ours. One of the ways that manifests itself is seeing the subtle differences between something like the difference between inspiring or agitating, the difference between guiding and goading, right? The difference between leading and reacting. So these are just a few examples of the subtle ways we can direct our passion without losing our purpose. Now, I want to make it clear, like, joyful vegans aren't perfect. This isn't like, you're a happy Pollyanna and nothing's ever wrong with this world and I don't even see anything that's wrong with this world versus, oh my God, the world is awful and we have to change it, right? So that's a dichotomy that's a false one. People who are angry are not constantly just, you know, throttling someone, and people who are joyful are not just a Pollyanna. There's somewhere in between, and there's a whole spectrum, and I think we all move on that spectrum all the time. But the choice I'm encouraging us to all make is really, what is our identity and how do we want to lead in the world? What is the primary characteristic we want to lead with in the world? So joyful vegans are not saints. They don't think they're better than anybody else. They just know they're better than they were before they became vegan, right? So but people like me who consider themselves a joyful vegan, I see veganism as a manifestation of my highest values rather than an end in itself. And I aspire to act from integrity and compassion behind closed doors and in public, online and in person, with vegans and with non-vegans. I have no less determination to end violence against animals than the angry vegan. But the difference is, I always say, the joyful vegan is more willing to find resolution than she is eager to be right. She's more interested in solving the problem than she is determined to claim the moral high ground. That's the distinction. I can look back at a time when I can definitely say I dwelled more in anger than in joy, but that has not been the case for me for decades. And that is a choice I made because of the hope I choose to dwell on. I could not do this work. I could not legitimately call myself a joyful vegan if I did not have hope. Or rather, if I did not choose to dwell in hope. And that's the difference. I'm joyful because I choose to be. I'm also active, engaged, and aware. You can be all of these things without being perpetually angry. I can be angry without identifying as an angry vegan. I can be angry without identifying with my own anger. And that's the difference with negative emotions like despair and outrage. It's not that we don't ever have them. Of course we will. We're human. It's that we're willing to let go of them. We're willing for them to not sustain us. We're willing for them to not define who we are. That's the difference. There are plenty of reasons to be angry at the injustices in this world. There always will be, but there are plenty of reasons to be hopeful because of the progress in this world as well. We can decide at any given moment which one we want to focus on, and I choose the latter. I have hope because I choose to. Now, I include what I'm about to say in The Joyful Vegan. It's a table I included in The Joyful Vegan. And I want to see if it resonates with you. It's more of that subtle difference that I mentioned before between agitating and inspiring, for instance. And I laid it out this way so that you could really gauge your own progress and you can really see for yourself, what does it look like to have characteristics of a joyful vegan and characteristics of an angry vegan? It's not that we're not going to have them. It's how do we want them to define us or not. So the angry vegan condemns, the joyful vegan supports, the angry vegan judges, the joyful vegan analyzes, the angry vegan rants, the joyful vegan informs, the angry vegan raves, the joyful vegan articulates, the angry vegan criticizes, the joyful vegan discerns, the angry vegan demands, the joyful vegan entreats. The angry vegan shouts, the joyful vegan communicates. The angry vegan vilifies, the joyful vegan commends. The angry vegan antagonizes, the joyful vegan attracts. The angry vegan reacts, the joyful vegan leads. The angry vegan silences, the joyful vegan listens. The angry vegan provides shock. The joyful vegan provokes thought. The angry vegan polices language. The joyful vegan masters language. The angry vegan enrages the public. The joyful vegan engages the public. The angry vegan goads. The joyful vegan guides. The angry vegan polarizes. The joyful vegan unites. The angry vegan scowls. The joyful vegan smiles. The angry vegan insults, the joyful vegan influences. The angry vegan guilts, the joyful vegan directs. The angry vegan alienates, the joyful vegan motivates. The angry vegan forces, the joyful vegan encourages. The angry vegan intimidates, the joyful vegan persuades. The angry vegan sees problems, the joyful vegan finds solutions. The angry vegan makes enemies. The joyful vegan makes allies. The angry vegan expels dissenters. The joyful vegan welcomes ideas. The angry vegan is impatient. The joyful vegan is earnest. The angry vegan is inflexible. The joyful vegan is adaptable. The angry vegan is intolerant. The joyful vegan is understanding. The angry vegan is rigid. The joyful vegan is supple. The angry vegan is combative. The joyful vegan is provocative. The angry vegan is irascible. The joyful vegan is passionate. The angry vegan is impolitic. The joyful vegan is diplomatic. The angry vegan is dogmatic. The joyful vegan is outspoken. The angry vegan is arrogant. The joyful vegan is receptive. The angry vegan is ideological. The joyful vegan is visionary. The angry vegan is pessimistic. The joyful vegan is hopeful. The angry vegan sees only one path. The joyful vegan sees many. The angry vegan speaks condescendingly. The joyful vegan speaks respectfully. The angry vegan finds fault with imperfections. The joyful vegan knows that being vegan means being imperfect because vegans are human. The angry vegan sees evil. The joyful vegan sees fear. The angry vegan cares nothing for public opinion. The joyful vegan values her role as a public ambassador. The angry vegan forgets he once ate animal products. The joyful vegan remembers. The angry vegan demands compassion for non-human animals while excoriating human animals. The joyful vegan strives to have compassion for everyone, even for those who are not compassionate. The angry vegan says do everything to aspiring vegans. The joyful vegan says don't do nothing. I know that's a lot there, but I wanted to just have those dichotomies there for you to see and see if any of it resonated with you. If it does, if you're interested in more, please get yourself a copy of The Joyful Vegan. And you can see here, and I want this to be really clear, is that it's not that The Joyful Vegan is not passionate and not outspoken and not visionary and doesn't speak up. All of those things are true. It's just that there's a way to do it in a way that will be heard. And that's in the end what we all want for the animals. This is Colleen Patrick-Gaudreau. Thanks for listening.